So imagine it is the year 1000. And if you aren't a guy with a sword, you're basically prey. I mean, in a world of stone castles and zero law, might makes right wasn't just a catchphrase,
Right, it
right?
was literally the only rule.
Exactly. So today we're doing an exploration into the source material on John Batty's work on chivalry. We really want to understand how Western civilization survived this, brutal era.
Yeah, and our mission here is to see how chivalry wasn't just some collection of dusty legends. It was actually this hard-coded social operating system.
I love that operating system metaphor.
Yeah.
Because feudalism gave us the hardware, the castles, the weapons, but chivalry was the software that kept it all from just crashing into total anarchy.
That is spot on. And well, Batty actually traces this back to a really fascinating linguistic shift. In French, you have the chevalier, which just means horseman. But in
So
English,
they use knight.
exactly, knight, which comes from the Anglo-Saxon word se-knight, meaning a boy or a servant.
Wait, so the English word for this elite warrior literally implies servitude.
Yeah, it implies a transformation. You're taking a servant, putting him on a horse, and saying, you are now a protector.
But where does that morality actually come from? Like, you can't just hand a guy a mace, tell him to be nice, and expect that to work.
You really can't. You have to look at the Germanic influence for that. See, unlike the sort of polished Greeks and Romans who, frankly, treated women as property,
Right.
the ancient Germanic tribes viewed women as sources of wisdom and sanctity. So when you take that tribal respect and fuse it with Christian morality, you get something totally new, a warrior who believes his strength exists specifically to protect the weak.
I do have to push back a little there, though. I mean, it sounds like a beautiful sentiment, but wasn't this just a massive PR campaign for an elite boys' club? Did the villains, the peasants, actually see any of this protection?
No, that is a totally fair challenge. It was definitely an aristocratic system.
Yeah.
But Batty argues that chivalry was basically religion put into action. It created a standard that even a king had to answer to.
So it wasn't just about, like, table manners.
Far from it. It was about internalizing a code so deeply that a knight's identity was tied to his restraint. And that didn't happen overnight. It was a 14-year psychological reboot.
Oh, right, because you start as a page at age seven,
Yeah, age seven.
basically acting as a glorified waiter to learn that humble service isn't beneath you. And then you're a squire at 14 doing the heavy lifting. But the real aha moment in the source for me is the investiture at 21.
Oh, the ordeal. It's intense.
It really is. It's not just some graduation party.
Think about the bath of purification. It wasn't just for hygiene, it was like a, well, a factory reset for the
A
soul.
factory reset. Wow.
Yeah, and then they get the white tunic for purity and the red robe, which was the stark, bloody reminder of the life they're expected to lay down for their faith.
And didn't they redesign the weapons too? The cross-hilted sword?
They did. Most swords were cross-hilted so that in your final moments on some muddy battlefield, you could plunge your sword into the dirt and suddenly you have a portable crucifix to look at. The tool of death was literally a symbol of sacrifice.
That is wild. But the code didn't stay purely martial, right? I mean, things shift.
They do. Eventually, you get the war trumpet of Peter the Hermit and the Crusades, which shifts the focus heavily to religious devotion. And then later, the troubadours come along.
Right, courtly love.
Exactly. They turn the whole thing on its head by making love the actual business of life. That is where the gentle part of gentleman really takes root. It turns the knight into a social pillar.
But then the hardware changes again because of gunpowder.
Right, in 1330, suddenly a good name and personal courage.
Yeah, cannonball doesn't care how polite you are.
Exactly. A cannonball levels the playing field. And once the military necessity died, the satire moved in. Cervantes wrote Don Quixote and basically smiled Spain's chivalry away.
He made the knight errant look like a deluded eccentric chasing windmills.
He really did. But Batty suggests that while the armor disappeared, the core of it, the spirit remained. The knight shifted into the gentleman.
Right, you see it in modern heroes.
Yeah, think about lifeboat crews heading into a storm, or coal miners rescuing their mates, or medical workers walking into a plague zone.
It's that same self-abnegation.
Precisely. It is the idea that your power or your health is a debt you owe to those with less of it. Batty calls it the salt that keeps character from decay.
The salt that keeps character from decay. I love that. So, as we wrap up, here's something for everyone listening to mull over. As you navigate this modern world of, automated courtesy and digital distance, what is your magic sword?
Ooh, that's a good question.
What is that one unshakable principle you would defend at any cost, even if it meant losing your reputation or your safety? Because if we lose that
We're
code,
just back to guys in stone castles.
exactly, and the system starts to crash all over again.